Hello again. Welcome back to the Roundtable. It's 9:13 on a Wednesday morning. Ray is in for Joe today. It's the Roundtable panel. We have an all-star lineup today, anchored by communications consultant Joe Bonilla and Terry Gibson, who is a SUNY New Paltz communications professor, former New York State Senator. We also have an all-star in her own right, Berkshire Eagle reporter Jen Smith, with us today. You can always email us at panel@wamc.org if you want to share your thoughts on what we've talked about this morning. And then there's Alan, and Alan is here as well. Good morning, sir. The fun drive is approaching on Monday morning. I know you're thrilled, as am I. And we have a lockbox going on. Why don't you tell us about it?
We do. Well, the lockbox has up to now been very good.
Yeah,
but
great.
You got to watch out that it's like the Roadrunner. You remember, we go up to the thing and they go, screech, and just stop at that moment. Then we can't have that happen, could we?
No.
No, we are very lucky we have an incredible staff here. Look at the people who are on the round table every morning and come in and do the wonderful work that we are seeing this morning and our discussions, which you all participate in. Somebody told me something yesterday that is extraordinary. This is inside baseball, so I probably shouldn't tell you, but you know, I was talking to the person who does our underwriting program. And, you know, people pay based on our most popular programs. In other words, so guess what? This program costs more to underwrite on than Morning Edition from NPR because more people are listening. It's extraordinary. Hmm. And remember, this ain't drive time, as we say. This is 9 to 10:30, and we have an incredibly loyal and wonderful audience. Who are there every day and who write us and participate and talk to us and scream at us and do all of those things. So it's really been a wonderful ride so far. Here we are. We need $500,000 in the lockbox by the beginning of the fund drive, which is 6 o'clock on Monday morning. We only have today, tomorrow, and Friday, right?
Well, and the weekend, presumably.
Well,
come on.
Yeah, well.
What about the people who are up here visiting on the weekends, right?
There's no question some will come.
Yeah.
Some will come. But, and I have to always remind myself, and because I started as a weekender too, I remind everybody that, you know, you're citizens too. You know, you pay for the garbage and you pay for your water and you pay for the real estate taxes. But does this contribute, if you're a weekender and part-time, and does this contribute to your quality of life? Well, I can tell you, I'm getting a lot of mail from people who say, you know, I don't want to be a competitive person because that's not in my nature. It's not in my nature. But they write me all the time to tell me how much better than, for example, WNYC we are. Now, there's no reason to get that fight started because they're good in their own right, right? They do their own thing.
Yeah, so let's not start that fight.
No, I'm not doing
that. No, you wouldn't.
Did it appear to you then?
No.
So I thought maybe you thought I was starting a fight. Mm. That's just like you, Ray.
Interesting.
You're always looking for trouble.
Hey, there's a challenge on the table here.
Is there?
Yeah.
Let's see it. Okay. Thank you for handing this to me. Okay. It says here, Anonymous from Troy will give us, that's pretty good, $2,000. Now, I went into the bank the other day to get $100 bills.
I bet you did.
No, $100 bills because I had to pay somebody for something.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this is good.
Not a sketch or whatever.
The parlay didn't pay, apparently.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't pay somebody for something.
All right.
So I went in, and have you seen what the $100 bills look like these days? They're works of art.
Yeah. Right in my backyard, Crane Paper Company.
So you can't counterfeit them. The threading on there.
Franklin, and then you got a line running through it, and it's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
So you know what I did with them? I made a collage out of them. And
what?
I put them all into a...
Okay. But you digress.
Oh, yes, so I digress. So the challenge is for $2,000.
Okay.
The point is, take $2,000 bills. Is that what it is, 20? $2,000 would be $2,000 bills, wouldn't it? Mm. And try to stuff them in your wallet. It's really tough.
Okay.
If you take $20 bills. But $2,000 is a lot of money. I'm just trying to impress upon you, you see, Ray.
Now, in order to get this $2,000 challenge, what do we have to do, Alan?
By 10:30 this morning, we have to raise an incredible amount of money.
Okay, we have to hit the $450,000 point in the lockbox, which is $13,796 away. When we started this program, we had raised in the lockbox $436,204, which is amazing. We want to raise $13,796 by 10:30 this morning. If we do that, then the challenge comes into play, correct?
We get the $2,000.
Okay.
And it's a very generous person from Troy, New York.
Okay.
And we are extremely thankful for that.
And how does one make a
pledge? I want to mention one more time. In the history, and I've been here since 79, I have to tell you, we have never, ever made one of these up. Never, ever.
A challenge?
That's right. I want you to know that if we have a challenge, it's a real thing. Now, I do know, I don't want to get into competition with other places, but I've watched some of the television stuff, and they say, we will match your dollar for dollar. Who? What? When? How much? How much are you getting it? Okay, forget that. That's their thing.
You're casting aspersions?
Yes.
Okay.
We're running our own race. You see, that's the whole point here.
And how does one make a pledge if they want to help us meet this challenge, sir?
All right. I'll bet you know. Let's see. Do you know?
I do know, but I'm asking you.
Okay. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Or you can go to WAMC.org.
Right.
And when you talk to the wonderful operator, if there are any out there, yesterday there were so many calls that they were backing up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is not a regular fund drive, so we don't have 16 volunteers or 19 volunteers sitting out there. Everybody has to just sort of get doing. In fact, I was wondering whether Ray could start answering phones right from where you are.
Oh, right here now?
Yeah, sure. Hello.
Yeah,
hello.
What could go wrong?
Hello. Yeah.
Fine.
Okay, so again, 1-800-323-9262. We'll get $2,000. 1-800-323-9262. And WAMC.org.
Right.
Now, some people do the other thing. They invert the... They say W-A something C. Okay. Oh, that's good.
Your bourbon, sir. Here you
Thank
are.
Thank you. Pass the bourbon over,
Enjoy.
Will you please? Thank
yes.
you very much. Okay. And, okay, you're looking so distraught. You're looking like Andre Kosygin when he was in a bad mood.
I see.
You know, he had
presumably you would know. So,
I'm old enough to know. Yeah, and he looked like you, or you looked like him.
All right.
He used to stand up there with all those other Russians. Remember?
Yeah.
And when the communism was there, mm-hmm. and Kosygin would be there, and you look just like him.
Does this qualify as the panel?
1-800-323-9262.
All right,
Ray, you're Russian?
No, I'm not. I'm rushing, but I'm not Russian. before we get into politics and such today. They're battening down the hatches in Florida. Michael swirled onto the Florida Panhandle as a still-growing Category 4 this morning.
That's unbelievable.
Big
four,
storm surge and huge winds expected. It could be the worst hurricane, or as the BBC says, hurricane, mm-hmm. in recorded history for this stretch of the Florida coast. National Weather Service says going back to National Hurricane Center says going back to 1851, there have been no Category 4 hurricanes ever hitting the Florida Panhandle. This is a biggie. 375,000 people up and down the Gulf Coast have been ordered or urged to get out. And I guess landfall sometime around noon today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about the last one. What was the name of that one that just went by?
Florence.
How soon we forget. Florence, yeah.
Yeah.
How soon we forget. They kept saying it was looking like a five, then it was a four and a three and a two, mm-hmm. and then it was a one and not quite a one when it went in there. So this is an absolute four. It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's especially on the Gulf side. I mean, you think about it in the last year, and we're getting these 100-year storms happening every year. You look at last year with Maria and Harvey, and now this year with Michael. The political impact, there is a political impact to this storm because you have the mayor of Tallahassee. Tallahassee's right there on the panhandle.
Right.
Andrew Gillum is running for governor. And, you know, you're seeing that sort of response. So you always see in these situations storm politics come into play, especially being so close to the general election. But certainly for the panhandle, where you have Pensacola, you have Tallahassee, but even in Georgia, in South Carolina, that impact as well.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And FEMA, in fact, just this morning is saying, hey, Georgians, wake up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's coming for you. As a matter of fact, the track of this storm basically goes up the panhandle and through Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, mm-hmm. and into Virginia before it heads out to sea.
Okay, now if you look at Florida, right, you see that spoke that comes out into the ocean. That's not the panhandle, right? That's just something else, like Miami is. And where's the panhandle? The panhandle
it's up in the upper
north.
Upper, yeah.
Up Alabama way. Louisiana,
yeah.
Out that way?
Georgia, up that way. Northwest. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Shall we get a map?
No, I know what it is, and this is going to be terrifying. We all have friends there. And, you know, it's always this question as to whether or not, you know, you can get out and whether you should get out. It's a pain in the neck. We all know that. As for me, every once in a while I've been thinking about going down there and relocating to Florida. But I'm not doing it anymore.
My father actually relocated to Tampa Bay. Yeah. He's actually up here in New York this week. They delayed all flights out of JFK.
Oh, already? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
wow.
Basically not going anywhere.
He's lucky.
A lot happening in terms of that preparation, both in and around Florida. Even places in Georgia and Alabama, they're already closing schools. It was interesting. Prior to the Nikki Haley announcement yesterday, President Trump said, you know, don't worry, basically, FEMA's got it under control. That I think gives people a false sense of confidence.
John B. Lindsay.
This is a system that's entirely under pressure. It's only still early, you know, October, and we're still in prime hurricane season. We still have, if you look at the Moody's projections for what Florence cost the Carolinas, that's in the $1 billion range in terms of how it affects productivity, how it affects the environment. This part of Florida, and if you look at the geography, really dense with trees, and there's a lot of potential for a lot of tree damage and flooding. It's also interesting of who actually lives there year-round. And there's a lot of fisheries and areas that are going to be affected. And these are people, if you look at the local papers, the local radio stations, the local TV stations, you see a lot of people saying they're staying. So what does this mean for these
folks?
That's
a great question.
Term?
And I've always wondered, A, about the mindset of those who say, I'm going to ignore the evacuation order and stay. Hmm. Always wondered how that works. And also, I wonder how you enforce it. If there is a mandatory evacuation, do the police go door to door and find out? How do you do that?
Well, I think they do that as much as they possibly can. But there always comes a point where they begin to say that emergency workers will no longer be able to access these areas. And so you will be on your own if you don't get out by this date. But I also think that this hurricane, along with all the other extreme weather we're having, just underlines the urgency of the report that the UN just put out about climate change, mm-hmm. and about how not only are we not prepared here on the Florida coast and the Georgia coast and Alabama coast, but we're not really prepared across the country and across the world for the extreme weather that we are now undergoing and are certain to continue to undergo. And all governments, especially the United States, really do need to step up and take the lead in making the proper investments in infrastructure and planning to deal with this in ways that just aren't happening. And we don't see it happening with the Trump administration. We don't see it happening with FEMA. And I think, to Jen's point, to say that FEMA is prepared and has this under control really does a disservice to the American public.
FEMA is not a team of climatologists. They're not experts on the ecosystem. And I think one of the things that's really evidenced here, my uncle is a fisherman, so I learn a lot about the tides. And the tides are literally changing. The currents, the temperatures of the water are changing. So you have a very evident red algae bloom, which is something we've been hearing about here in New York State and in Massachusetts, in the Berkshires,
yeah.
From the Stockbridge roll. I think in New York State where we are now, there was like 61 bodies of water that were affected with this toxic red algae bloom. When you have storm situations, obviously the tides get disrupted, things move. That results in fish kills and results in more pollution, and that again affects industry and your ability for your economy to recover in a timely fashion. The last year we had Harvey that affected things like oil refineries and gas availability. Already you're seeing a larger demand for fuel right now. Prices went up last year about 50 cents a gallon. What will be affected this area now, especially because it's not just isolated in one area, but it's going along the whole Gulf.
We would love to hear from you. The email address here is panel@wamc.org. Panel@wamc.org.
What's the phone number again?
ORG, the phone number. And thank you for reminding me. We have a challenge on the table, a $2,000 challenge.
I don't want to lose it either.
To hit the $450,000 mark in the lockbox by 10:30 this morning. We started the show needing $13,796.
And as soon as Amber comes in, and she'll be doing it almost every 2 minutes now, she'll tell us where we are.
Yes, and she promised that she would do that. But you can make your pledge by calling 800-323-9262, 800-323-9262, or you can go to our website, wamc.org, and make your pledge there.
And I got a call, an email overnight saying, you know, I'm an old-fashioned person. Every once in a while, you could say, because I only send things in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Could you give the address? It's WAMC 318 Central Avenue, 12206.
Albany, New York.
Albany, New York.
12206. 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. I guess we could probably do semaphore as well if we're going to go old school, right?
I think it's a good idea.
Morse code?
Can you send money through semaphore?
Morse code.
Why not?
Okay.
We'll take money any way we can get it. This is the roundtable panel, and we have a former New York State Senator and current SUNY New Paltz Communications Professor Terry Gibson here. We have Alan Shartok, Jen Smith, Joe Bonilla, and you at panel at WAMC.org. How are we doing so far?
We have 436-852. How much did we start with?
436-852? No, we started with 436-204.
So. 204, so we made $600, basically.
Okay, and we need to improve that rate.
By a lot.
Okay.
Or we'll fail. Right. And if we fail, then we all fail together.
Let's take a break here. The Brits will update us on Hurricane Michael, and we'll be back. You're listening to the Berkshire Ramblers here on the Roundtable. or not, on the Roundtable panel. It's 9:34. Ray is in for Joe. What a panel we have here. Oh, Terry Gibson is here, Joe Bonilla, Jen Smith, and the lovable Alan Shartok. The email address here is panel@wamc.org. In the latest shakeup for President Trump's administration, U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley abruptly announced she's resigning at the end of the year, raising questions about who will fill the key national security post. Trump later told reporters he was considering five candidates for Haley's job and that a successor would be named in 2-3 weeks, maybe sooner. Haley's 46, not personally wealthy, hinted in her resignation letter to Trump that she is headed to the private sector.
I'm nervous.
About what? Everybody's nervous on this show and has been
the level of nervousness.
Yes. I don't like the fact that she's leaving right now. It bothers me for a variety of reasons, and I think we should be concerned about it. And she was one of the more calmer spots in the storm that we now know as the Trump administration. And while I certainly don't agree with all of her decisions, there was a certain amount of security she brought to the role that I think people respected. And I'm just concerned about who replaces her and if they will take on a much more nationalistic approach that could be very devastating to our relationships with other countries.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You're right, Terry. The dissonance between her and the president was palpable for a while. She knew how to say no to him. And while he ranted and did his thing, she was the voice of reason. Now, a lot of people think that she's setting herself up for a run for president. Now, she sat next to the president, and she said, not this time.
Well, it was interesting to see, because usually with any sort of these resignations or departures out of the White House or the administration, it's either done on Twitter or just done without the knowledge of the office holder. And this one was actually done in the Oval Office.
Yeah, and that was interesting, too. And when you looked at the discussion around this, it seemed like everybody else was shocked, but them, and there was talk that this he had known 6 months prior that this was part of her exit plan, so to speak. And there are the other circumstantial pieces that go along with the story. She's in a lot of debt, so she does need to make money.
And kids going to college.
She's right. Got young kids who need to go to college. There is the ethics investigation that was being pushed, but whether that really is intertwined with this, It's hard to say.
The timing of this is interesting. Now, about 6 months ago, apparently, they first discussed this. Trump and Haley discussed her leaving.
Right.
That was about the time Mike Pompeo and John Bolton came on board. And there has talk among unnamed senior officials that there was some disconnect between Bolton's approach and Haley's approach.
Bolton.
She was forced out. I feel like you just kind of feel that there was definitely some pressure there. And also, you know, she's a very savvy politician, regardless of where you think about her positions. I think that we definitely haven't seen the last of her. I think she has a bright future ahead of her. And I think probably she saw the writing on the wall and said, you know, I'm going to get out while the getting's good and make it look as if I'm taking control of the situation, even though behind the scenes that may not be what's going on.
I'm thinking about Nelson Rockefeller and people like Henry Kissinger. Turns out that when they were going to leave because they didn't have enough money, he got the money, gave them loans. And they were forgiven later on in life and the rest of it. This guy's not giving anybody money to stick around.
Well, no. Maybe he doesn't have any money to give, for all we know.
That's right.
Flat
we don't
broke.
Know.
But the bigger question is, who does replace Nikki Haley? And as we've seen in every single cabinet official, somebody who's been replaced, we get a worse version of the last person. So you look at Mike Pompeo compared to Rex Tillerson. So that's really the fear. I mean, who does he appoint? And does he go more on the nepotism side? Does he appoint Ivanka?
Well, he says he won't do that.
Yeah. Well, he says a lot of things he won't do.
Yeah. Well, that's true, Joe. But on the other hand, she has been quite definitive that she's out of it. She's not going to be part of it because they all realize, by the way, she wouldn't be up to it. She wouldn't be up to that.
How do you know?
I know because I know these things.
It's just so important that we have somebody that is able to communicate in a succinct and clear and calm way with the leaders of the other countries. And it's so important that we have good relationships. And right now, that is probably only happening because of Nikki Haley, is in my opinion. And the fact that she's leaving, I think it's just very worrisome.
I think she's definitely leaving before a storm. If you look at any of the foreign policy stuff that we have to negotiate now, it's going to involve a lot of tact, knowledge, and strategy. She didn't know a lot. I mean, she was a governor before she came in, so she didn't know a ton about foreign policy and relations. It was something that was learned. It was something that, as we're reading across channels, it appeared that she was respected and well-liked as a UN diplomat who made some progress. But, we hear the name Dina Powell being thrown around. I think that's on the top five list. Who knows?
Well, we have some mail. Do you want the mail?
Well, it's up to you.
No,
your programs.
No, you're the boss of this program.
That's fine. Let's just reestablish the fund drive very quickly. Okay. We'll take a short break, and then we'll get to the mail.
Okay, boss. And the fund drive means that we needed $14,000. We need slightly less than that now. It begins to pick up. It gets faster and faster and faster. We need it, and we need it by 10:30 so that we can have reached the
$450,000 mark in the lockbox,
which would put us in a position to do what we need to do. Folks, I know you're there, and I know you're part of this, and I know how important this is.
And we get a $2,000 challenge.
We do.
That $450,000 mark, so your money that you would pledge now will actually go a little further. The phone number is 800-323-9262. Or you can go to WAMC.org and make your pledge right now. Yeah, there's stuff to give away. You can find out about that online or ask your operator. They're standing
by.
Right. Let's take a quick break. This is the Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 942. It's Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Terry Gibson on the panel today. Joe Bonilla, Jen Smith, and WAMC's own Alan Shartok. You, of course, can join the conversation with a brief email. Brief. You know, some people like, and I'm not complaining.
Somebody said yesterday, this really got me. This one got me. This was Chutzpah 101. Please don't read any of my things, my missiles. It was way long. Unless you read the whole thing. Hey, don't send it, because we reserve the right. We reserve the right. If it's too long, to just take the first couple of sentences.
Did you see the email we got yesterday? came in, there was a letter from Joe Smith, whatever, and then the next moment later it said, oh, please be careful, I dropped the F-bomb in the first one. Now, imagine Alan reading the first one and then getting the second one. Doesn't really help. So proofread and avoid the F-bomb if you can. The email address is panel@wamc.org.
Right, it's true, Ray. Tim writes, beloved panel. I like it.
Yeah. Dearly beloved.
Yeah. Florida famously banned the phrase climate change in state communication as much as North Carolina refused to adjust its flood maps. Isn't it time for politicians to realize the climate change crisis won't go away if they simply stick their heads in the sand? And that's Tim from Stone Ridge. Tim, you make a great point. But, of course, wood and schmud are two different words.
I've been thinking a lot about this, you know, and that this term climate change, I think, deserves some us to revisit it, because I'm worried that it's starting to become sort of a euphemism for things that we should just be more blunt about. We ought to start talking about more that we're living in a world where we're running out of drinkable water, we're running out of farmable land, we're running out of breathable air. And when we use the word climate change more and more, I think it's losing its punch. It's losing its impact. I think we need to find another way to talk about this.
It's definitely a much more muted term than global warming.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the fact is that its politics doesn't suit this particular president. And he will do anything to deal with his base. And, you know, today, what was it today that he did that was awful? Ethanol. Ethanol. He decided we don't do ethanol, I think, in the summer because it adds to global warming. So he went down to his rally where they're raising that corn that becomes ethanol or cornanol or whatever it becomes.
Cornanol.
And he said, we're going to do it 12 months a year. So he says, I don't give a damn about what the consequences of this are. In the short term, more important to get me elected in 2020 and to get a Republican Congress elected than to do what's right. That's the one reason you got to love Obama. You do. He did what was right. Okay, so that was Tim. And then there comes Bob, who writes to us almost every day. I have never understood why there is no penalties for not following evacuation orders. I think that if non-evacuees were charged for their rescues and criminally charged if their rescuers were injured, a lot more people would obey these orders. And that's from Bob. And Julie says, interesting to see Stefanik, that's Congresswoman Stefanik up in the North Country there, speak about how Congress needs to get involved in limo legislation because two of her constituents died. Cuomo ordered flags at half-staff because of the crash. All well and good. When will Stefanik speak out on the cost, economic and human, of Hurricanes Florence and Michael? Will Cuomo or climate denier Trump order flags down in half staff for the victims of climate change and the result of ignoring greenhouse gases and heat dispersion into the oceans? When will we take climate denial and silence seriously? And that's a theme that we're hearing in our letters today. And we got a lot of letters yesterday during your Vox Pop.
Oh, yes.
It was on climate change. And I never saw such a ton of committed environmentalists writing in, really something. Okay, and Robert says, hello, panel. You were wondering about the mindset of people who refuse to leave when ordered to evacuate for hurricanes? What you are not considering is that in some of these, people do not have a vehicle or a way to evacuate and do not have, that's absolutely true, the funds to evacuate or do not have a place to evacuate to or just can't afford to abandon where they live because the only thing they have, and that's from Robert. That's right.
I agree. It was something we were talking about over the break a little bit about, especially an older population or a poorer population. It's exactly a problem, and it's something that needs to be discussed on the ground in terms of how do we make these plans when we know we're going to be affected in this way? How do we make sure that evacuation is equitable?
Well, that's the thing, especially in the Panhandle where it is a more working class. It is a poorer part of Florida, unlike South Florida or, you know, even near Tampa Bay. And that's certainly the problem, is that they don't have the luxury of free agency in that way.
And here's a letter from the Department of Putting Words in Our Mouths. It's from John, who says, think there's no climate change? So you think that there's nothing? And it says nothing. I'm reading you the exact way it's pronounced, is written. So you think there's nothing such thing as climate change? Pardon me? Did somebody say something about that?
Can we go on and see what he says? I mean, maybe he's making
That's all he said. Oh, tell that to the plants and insects that are all moving north.
Huh. So I don't think he was indicting you specifically. I think that was a generic
to
sort of
all
statement.
People who said, oh, okay, yes. Ray, thanks for helping out
just
with that.
Just trying to defend their...
Sarah who brought us the letter, says, okay, so Roger, No.
Unless
you want to read that, because I can't fully understand.
See what it says. Oh, I have no idea, but Roger's a faithful listener of this program, and we don't quite understand, but we would like to recognize his pledge in the lockbox this morning.
We would.
You know, Roger makes a beautiful tube amplifiers down in Warwick, New York.
Roger Ray.
Roger that. And the fun drive, by the way, while we have a second here, Alan, maybe this is a good seg into reminding people what we're doing this morning in the lockbox.
All right. Now, our Amber, who has done such a good job here as our fun drive director, has just brought the latest, and that's we're up to 437-222. So what does that mean?
We need to do is hit the $450,000 mark in the lockbox by 10:30.
Right.
And if we do that, we'll make another $2,000 from Anonymous.
And that's coming fast. And here's what I would like Amber to do when she comes in with these. Okay. See, you're not quite as good at this as Joe. Because Joe, when he has his computer in front of him, he can always do the math in his head and say how much we have to go.
I can do that for you.
Well, no. So we now 437-222.
Let me see it.
Here.
Let me see it.
Now you need...
You don't enunciate. I need to look.
Okay, but before you open your...
We need $12,778, okay?
Well, that's a lot of money.
All right.
That means 120-something people. Here comes... Okay, now one of the things I want Amber to do from now on...
Why don't you just have Amber in and tell her to her face?
Amber's here.
Amber, one of the
things
for a moment.
One of the things I want Amber to do from now on is tell us not only how much we've raised, but how much to go. Do you see?
In the challenge.
In the challenge.
$12,363.
Okay, she just gave you a new total here.
Yeah, so and will you write that down on this little yellow
here,
paper?
I'll write it down on a little piece of paper.
No, I got that already, Kosigan.
All right.
Yeah,
all okay. Right. Can we move on now?
Yeah, please.
Okay, good. It's the roundtable, and we're having a good time here with Terry Gibson and Jen Smith and Joe Bonilla and WAMC's Alan Shartok. I don't know if you saw this one in the Washington Post. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein is going to be on Capitol Hill this week to answer questions about what he may or may not have said regarding wearing a wire and trying to get the president to say ridiculous things. He, of course, talked to the president this week, and they're buddies. They said they're buddies now. However, some Republicans on Capitol Hill want some clarity. The lawyer for the Justice Department, the FBI's lawyer, talked about this whole thing the other day, and his name is James Baker. He told congressional investigators that the deputy attorney general's suggestion was presented to him by senior FBI officials as being serious, raising questions about Rosenstein's assertions to the contrary.
Okay, so if you're Rosenstein and you get called up there, what do you say? What do you say to that committee? You say, just kidding? I mean, what is it that you say? Look, everybody, Cruz and everybody else, said terrible things about Trump all along. And here's just one more guy who took him seriously and said, this guy's bad news, and we have to start thinking about the 25th Amendment. We have to start talking about impeachment, and we should really get him on tape so when he says these awful things, it will be part of what we need to do all of that. But, Trump can't fire everybody because they were all said bad things about it, including, by the way, Nikki Haley at the right time. So now he has to sort of make his peace with who should go and who shouldn't.
But go ahead, Jen.
I was going to say it just seems like right now the focus is either on Rosenstein or Jeff Sessions, which.
Well, we all know that Mueller has got this investigation. What's scaring the hell out of me with Rosenstein's conversations with the president is what Rosenstein said to the president that would allow the president to walk out of the room and say we're all buddies now. Mm-hmm. In other words, did he get an update on what Mueller had or was going to do? Did he get an assurance that he was going to be all right from Rosenstein? Those are things that have me very worried.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think to Jen's point, it's not really Rosenstein that's going to be the one that's on the hook. I mean, it's still Sessions, I feel. And whether or not, you know, the last couple of weeks ago with Lindsey Graham, that audition for AG, if that actually comes to fruition. But, you know, really the political impact, if he were to, you know, fire Rosenstein, is that it would just further erode any sort of confidence, you know, the very little confidence the people of America have for this White House.
He doesn't care about the people of America. He cares
about some people, the base.
Yeah, he cares about that base.
Terry Gibson.
Well, I think what we're seeing, I think the Nikki Haley move is a part of this, is that there's a slow progression of queuing up new people to move into new positions throughout his cabinet after the midterm elections. I think you're going to see a huge turnover at that point in time.
But if true, is this not an allegation that could get you fired? In other words, let's play a hypothetical.
Let's
play a game here. Okay. You like games, right,
I do,
Alan?
I do.
Say there is an FBI agent. Now we're going back to the Obama administration.
Yes.
And, you know, he had some people in law enforcement who were not that crazy about his policies. Say there was a high-ranking FBI official who said, you know what, I'm going to wear a wire and we're going to get him on something. Wouldn't there be collective outrage on this panel? Would there not be collective outrage?
Oh, absolutely. I think that either way, that's an inflammatory remark. I think it's interesting that I'm interested in the questions that will be asked of him on Capitol Hill and who will be asking those questions. Because whatever conversations are being had, they're not the only ones. It's not just Trump and Rosenstein who are privy to what this means. I think other people know or have some ideas. So, I mean, that's why you bring someone in to kind of probe what they know. So I think that might come out.
I also think that this congressional hearing will be a lot more about trying to allow the Republicans to develop some kind of message that they think makes them look good versus actually achieving anything, which is the point of most of these hearings.
Right. And let's remember who these Republicans are. They have not done anything in terms of proper oversight with this president. It has been a disgrace. One of the reasons so many of us, and I'm one of them, I'm not going to lie to you, think that the Democrats should take the House of Representatives, because we have the most uneven situation now where we don't have anybody watching the store. The whole idea of having these three branches of government were that they were going to watch each other. That is not happening right now. And any hope that the Supreme Court was going to be that is now out the window. And so now we have two houses of Congress. You know, I think people can like their Republican representatives right now. But, you know, I think that it is there is people's obligation to understand, which Americans don't like to do, that there has to be another party in control. So let's just say, you know, you love John Faso. Let's say you really like him. But on the other hand, you know full well that you got guys like Nunes and they're doing nothing. The head of the appropriate committee to look. In fact, they catch him sneaking around in the White House bushes. This is really horrible. If the House flips, then you may have some real interesting developments, and it's obviously something that's scaring the hell out of Trump.
And I think that's the nature of the timing of these hearings too. Is what kind of messaging does it get out about any of these parties?
Right. You know, Alan, it's interesting. The argument you just made is the same argument that the New York State Republicans use for justifying having the Republicans control the New York State Senate. So that there are two parties involved. So I would just ask you, would you feel the same way if both parties were controlling our Congress?
Well, we have seen that in the past. We have seen Democratic control of the Congress, of the House, and of Lyndon Johnson being the president, and of the Supreme Court having a lot of people. So we've seen it. And people do react to it badly when it happens. On the other hand, I think there's a hell of a difference between the when the Republicans control everything and when the Democrats control things. Look, I work for a Democratic congressman who couldn't stand Lyndon Baines Johnson. Couldn't stand him. Wouldn't answer his telephone calls if he could avoid them because, you know, he's going to get his arm twisted and the rest of it. So I don't see that happening here. I think that Trump's popularity with that Republican group is so great that anybody knows it is suicidal, politically suicidal, to oppose this president.
Well, they're all rank and file. There's no factions. I mean, you talk about that same area. You had Rockefeller Republicans. You had folks that were Goldwater Republicans. You don't see that right now in the party, in the Republican Party.
We have to take a quick break here. The email address is panel@wamc.org.
$12,000. $12,000 to go.
Okay, and you can go to wamc.org and make your pledge or call us at 800-323-9222.
We need you.
800-323. You say your thing, and then I'll say the number. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead. We need you.
800-323. That's it. I'm done. I've had it. All right, let's take a break. You'll find the number.
800-323-9262.
We need you. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 10:05 on a Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. The Roundtable panel in full session now with Terry Gibson and Joe Bonilla and Jen Smith and WAMC's Alan Shartok. We only have about 25 minutes left in our challenge here. We'll get an extra $2,000 if we hit the $450,000 mark in the lockbox by 10:30.
And, you know, it drives me crazy, but we always do better in that last half an hour.
Yeah.
This is it. Now, remember, folks, we're all in it together. We have $2,000 we will get in a challenge from a wonderful person in Troy. Now, I just got handed the latest result. We're down from 14,000, which we started needing, to $10,800. So that means if 108 people now go, is that right? 108 people go and put some money in the box. At an average of $100, any part of it, any multiple of it, it'll be great. Now I'm really getting to be chewing on my fingernails right now, because this is incredibly important. If we are to make the $500,000 by Monday morning, this is right now, this moment is the universal joint, is the vortex, is the moment when we really have to do it. So if you really are a WAMCer, and if you value what we all do here together, and if you value the humor of a Ray or the sagaciousness of a Joe and of the incredible panel that we... And that's not that you're stupid. You're not.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, continue on with your spiel.
Okay. So I just want to make it clear that we're counting on you, because I'm asking you to do it. Please, 1-800-323-9262. We only have a few minutes to do this.
About 23 minutes.
23 minutes to do it, and we can. We've done it before. We've made $10,000 in 23 minutes, but it means that everybody has to say, okay, there are 500,000 people who are listening. I'll lead the way. I will be one of those people who put something in as an example for everybody else.
And once again, the website is wamc.org if you want to make your pledge now. And the stuff we have to give away if you want to check that out as well, but that's not the point. Wamc.org is the website. Our email address on this program, and this is the Roundtable panel, it's panel@wamc.org if you want to share your thoughts, and panel@wamc.org. We have a few thoughts to share.
Okay, here we go. Red says... global warming is dismissed by doubters, saying it's great for winter to be a bit warmer, and in the summer we have air conditioning. Climate disruption is a more accurate term that may receive the attention this issue deserves. Does anybody think that if we change it from, you know, climate change to climate disruption, that Donald Trump will smack himself on the side of the head and say, "Oh, good, now I'll be responsible." I doubt it.
No, he'll figure a way to, you know, co-opt the term.
And Stephen says the term climate change, given to us by the GOP operative Frank Luntz, as it sounds less scary than global warming. Luntz also coined the term death tax, and that's from Steve. Okay. And then we've heard from Sharon, who says, "Good morning, panel. Where is the effort to make the election day a federal holiday, and how can we make voting a requirement? Is anyone working on this issue so that getting people to vote won't suck up so much of our time and energy every election cycle?" Obviously, the Republicans don't want this, because the more people that vote, the more things turn Democratic. But where are the Democrats? Shouldn't this be a priority for them? Well, right now, the Democrats control nothing. You know, and every time they try to get a law passed, the Republicans always oppose it. So when we're talking about something like, you know, same-day registration or any of that stuff, they'll be against it. But you're right. We need to do this because if we do, then you're where you want to be.
And if you're not registered to vote, I believe this Friday is the last day to register to vote, correct?
The 12th of October in New York is the last day. I like this idea of a national holiday for voting. I think it's a good one.
It's a great idea.
Mandatory voting, however, I think is very controversial. I don't know that that would ever really
Well, they do mandatory voting in some dictatorships.
Yes.
They hold a gun to your head and say, go vote
for me. Yes, that's why I think it might never fly here.
Okay. And Margaret says, the president does not value people who don't have a lot of money. These are the people who will have trouble evacuating. When will his bewitched base understand it's the rich that he wants to survive? They are the most corruptible. And then we heard from Peter, who said, would Alan care to comment on the news item about white evangelists on a bus tour to overturn GOP elections in the midterm elections? The only thing I saw, and maybe somebody here could correct me, was that there's a load of evangelical women who are switching because they are—
In Texas.
In Texas, yeah. I think I saw that. Here comes Amber with yet another update. The last time we looked, it was 10-8 we needed to go. And this time, now—
Making progress, old boy.
Okay. $9,763. We only have 29 minutes or something? No.
19 minutes.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
My math isn't too good.
19 minutes to go.
Yeah. 19 minutes to go. We need 9,097 people. Could you be one of them? Please. Let's save us. Come on. 1-800-323-9262. We'll make it happen.
Disturbing news. This has been on the list for the last couple of days, but we'll get to it today. Turkish media published images today of an alleged 15-member Saudi assassination squad and video of suspicious movements at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul following journalist Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance a week ago, putting new pressure on the kingdom amid growing international concern for the writer. Turkish officials fear that the team killed Khashoggi, who basically wrote a lot of critical pieces about Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The kingdom dismissing these allegations. Let's go to our reporter first, Jen Smith.
As I was talking about during the break, I mean, this is what journalists, especially in countries low on the Committee to Protect Journalists and Freedom Tracker list, are facing, is that if you speak out against the government, if you dig too deeply, they interfere with your personal life. They will go after you. I've traveled in Pakistan, Haiti, where reporters have been kidnapped, beaten. They disappear. They get blackmailed, especially female reporters. It's terrible. And I think that's what we're seeing now is a particularly high profile case because Mr. Khashoggi was a contributor to the Washington Post. He had U.S. citizenship.
I'm not sure he had U.S. citizenship.
He's a legal U.S. resident is the way they refer to him.
I believe his fiance said they were in the process of trying to become U.S. Mm-hmm. citizens.
And so I think that's part of it. Again, because this particularly relates to the Saudi consulate, and I think there have been a number of things that have brought U.S. relations with the Saudis, and the current Crown Prince's sort of policies on how he says one thing and does another. He wants women to have more freedoms, yet is jailing them, especially if they're Shia and other practices. I think, again, the media over there has never been under more pressure since he took power, which is only in relatively a short amount of time. His rise kind of began around 2015.
But Jen, I think that the thing that we have to look at here is the relationship of the United States with the Saudis, and which has been terrible, and it's been terrible for years. We favor the Saudis. We all remember what happened on 9/11 as the Saudis were allowed to go home. We know that most of the people who did the killing and the the taking down of those buildings were Saudi themselves, and yet for some reason. Now, in the old days, it was always explained as being the oil. But now we don't need that oil, and so it still continues. And it certainly continues under Trump. He's under tremendous pressure to do something about this. He may issue a statement or two, but it's not going to go further than that.
He didn't speak out much about it yesterday.
It would be a great opportunity for the U.S. to take the lead in really defending freedom of the press, freedom of speech. You know, we take for granted in this country that we're able to sit around in this studio right now and express our opinions. We need these reporters all over the world sharing the information they have and expressing their opinions, and that someone who does that for a living, who is connected to the U.S., has been possibly assassinated, is a terrifying thought that we're living in a world where that could happen.
Well, and I think that the problem is, too, is that this administration is not backing up the press. Countries around the world are not very strong on their media policies. And I think that's a danger because that affects, when we talk about wanting to have free speech, when we talk about defending human rights, if you can't get up and call out something wrong that's happening, something contradictory that's happening, and then have something happen to you, it's a brazen attack on just our right to live in a lot of ways.
Right. And certainly, you know, again, having that freedom, and not just of opinion, but of the facts and making sure the facts are put out there and against the most powerful in the world. And that's why reporters are so brutally important to, you know, our society.
We needed 97 people. We need 89 people now to go. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. We only have 14 minutes, please, folks. You got to, as Pete saying, you got to walk that lonesome valley for yourself. Nobody else can do it for you.
And we have a $2,000 challenge on the table if we can hit 450,000 by 10:30.
Tom says, okay, here comes another one. 1-800-323-9262. Yeah, it actually improves since I just opened my mouth. We need 88 people now. 88 okay. People. 1-800-323-9262. Tom says Alan and Ray should take that act on the road.
Well, how about out in the middle of Central Ave?
Yeah, at least down the block, anyway. Right.
There should be plenty of fundraising opportunities on the vaudeville circuit.
Yeah.
Thanks for the laugh.
All right.
I don't think anything's funny about you, sir.
Fine.
Pierre in Westerlo says, good morning, panel. There's also the possibility that the disclosure of a contemplate 88, 87 people now. Good morning, panel. There is also the possibility that the disclosure of contemplated taping in the Justice Department is way of letting Trump know that they actually have him on tape already. Can we say leverage? Well, Pierre, maybe, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Okay, 1-800-323-9262. I need your help, folks. This is Alan, and I'm telling you, we need your help. We need 88 people. We only have, what, Ray?
Thank you, Alan. We have 12 minutes and 24 seconds.
Okay. And Jane says, with all this talk about climate change and global warming, I hardly ever hear discussion about Republicans' lack of response having to do with religion. Many of the far right are fundamentalist Christians who believe wholeheartedly in the rapture. In my opinion, this is the only explanation for their inaction. I think they actually believe all the Earth's instability is part of the grand plan, Armageddon, and the second coming, and thanks from Jane in Livingston Manor. You look confused, Ray.
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all.
Just 85 people to go. 1-800-323-9262. Thomas says, why Alan should not worry about what Rod said to Donald. Rosenstein is smart. Donald is not. I disagree with that. I think Donald is wicked smart. He got himself elected president of the United States. He caters to that base. I don't think he's concerned. I don't think he's nice. I think he's a bit of a tyrant. I know a bully, but I don't think anybody should dismiss this guy as not being smart. Anybody disagree?
I think he's more savvy than smart. I would use savvy.
I see.
You're not saying he's a stable genius?
Well.
So Rod says something like this, Mr. President, don't you worry about a thing. We're going to get to the truth and put this thing behind us, and the sooner the better. You can trust me on this. The phrase, we are going to get to the truth, doesn't scare Donald because the truth is what he always makes up in his own mind for his own benefit. 85, 1-800-323-9222.
I don't think you have to be smart to get elected president. I think George W. Bush proved that twice. So I guess I have a hard time sort of buying into the smartness argument.
Okay, Fran from Cairo says, good morning, panel. Can anybody explain to me the difference between President Clinton meeting on the runway with Madeleine Albright? It wasn't Madeleine Albright, was it? It was... who was the who was the Attorney General at the time?
Loretta Lynch. Lynch.
There we go. Loretta Lynch, yeah. It says Madeleine Albright, but I think she means Loretta Lynch. And Rob Rosenstein riding on Air Force One with President Trump. Obviously, Rosenstein is the head of the investigation on Trump. What an outcry when Clinton did it. Why not now? Fran from Greene County.
Well, there's a big difference, and one is an employee of the other. Bill Clinton was not an employer of Loretta Lynch. In other words, Rod Rosenstein theoretically could talk to President Trump about any number of things at any time of the day or night.
I see, B. Ray. So what you're saying is that in either case, it wasn't inappropriate because...
I didn't say it wasn't inappropriate in Bill Clinton's case.
And do you think it's not appropriate?
It was very inappropriate in that case.
And what about this case? You think...
Well, one is working... They're both working for the government.
Yes, but one is under investigation, Big Ray.
But then Rod Rosenstein would not tell him about the investigation,
One is under investigation. Okay, 1-800-323-9222.
There are other matters.
Look, we're merely making progress. 77 people to go now. 77 people to go. 1-800-323-9262. Let me sum it up, Ray. You're wrong. 1-800-323-9262. Okay.
The hammer falls.
Yeah. Right. It's all yours, baby. You got 9 minutes. Go ahead, Daddy-O.
All I'm saying is to get this $2,000, we need 77 people, and I need you to be one of them. Wherever you are, drop it. Unless you're holding a baby, 1-800-323-9262.
Caution. Don't throw caution by the wind.
Yeah. 1-800-323-9262. I need you to call your mother, call your brother. Look, there's $2,000, which we really need. Here's the problem. If we don't make $25,000 a day between now and Monday morning, we're done. Dead. Kaput. Finished. Punto. Finale.
And the on-air drive starts Monday at 6 a.m., so...
It does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was that? Did you say... Did one of you say something?
I was agreeing with you.
I thought Joe said
nice little low growl, that's all.
Yeah, growl. I look forward to the fundraise myself. It's I love listening to that.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people love it.
Yeah. No, it's true.
A lot of people hate it.
A lot of people enjoy it.
The people who love it, and the people who don't, they can put into the lockbox now. But don't be calling me up later. And I say to you, okay, you had an opportunity to put into the lockbox. Did you do it? That kind of thing. Don't be talking to me. Don't be calling me up.
And some people will write in, and we haven't seen too many in the last couple of days, will say, you know what? I live for the panel. I live for the discussions. Stop interrupting it with the fundraising.
Right.
But I got to tell you, people have short memories. Fund drives, not too long ago, 7, 8, 10 days. Now, 2, 2.5, 3 days.
Or one.
Sometimes it's been one. The point is, if this pains you to hear us raising money now, live with the pain. The fund drive will be brief, and we'll be back to regular programming.
Embrace the pain. And breathe.
And make your wallet a little bit lighter.
Embrace the pain and breathe. 77 people. It seems so simple. I need you to get there, because if we don't make this today, we're in trouble. I mean, we're really in trouble. We need to get to that $500,000 mark. You know, when I think about the way in which we're doing it now, it's people really love the lockbox idea, because we can talk about hurricanes, climate change, do all of that, and yet we can take a few seconds to say, put some money in now. Now, there's some people who say no. Now, one of the things I'm worried about, really worried about, is I'm talking to a lot of people who are so disgusted with what happened in the Kavanaugh hearings and others that they won't turn the television on, and they won't turn the radio on. They say, I don't want to hear it. I want to avoid it. The news is all bad. And when that happens, yesterday we had a brilliant panelist on who said the name of the game in elections is to get the people on the part of Trump not to vote. And if people aren't turning the television on and they're not listening to this go-to place, WAMC, then it may well be that in this fund drive, we're going to have some real trouble. But on the other hand, so far, we've been doing okay. We've been carried by all the wonderful people who want to. I need 77 people now who will say in the next 6 minutes, and we can handle anything you can throw at us, either at WAMC.org or going or dialing 1-800-323-9262, and we'll make it. Mm. But only with you, and then we'll get $2,000 extra, which is great. Somebody in Troy actually puts $2,000, says, if you can do this, I want to help. I want to add that incentive. And so that's what it is. Okay?
5 minutes to go.
Yep.
800-323-9262. Jen Smith, what's happening at the Berkshire Eagle?
Oh, gosh. Well, we're getting ready again for the elections. So we've got a lot of popular heated ballot questions, a lot with to do with nurse staffing levels.
Prop
so,
one.
Yep.
Prop one. I'll tell you right now, I've written my column on it for this weekend. And Prop one, what it does is it says, we, the government, will mandate and tell you how many nurses should be on duty at every moment. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm all for nurses, believe me, and I've said so on this program 1,000,000,000 times. And I have said, you know, look, every time it's the nurses versus the hospital system, I'm always for paying the nurses more and what they deserve, because anybody who's ever been in a hospital knows how important that is. But what if the government were to say to me, Alan, you know, let's decide that in order for you to have a proper workforce at WAMC, you have to have this many people on duty at any time. Now, you know, I have a feeling, because I've been in Fairview a couple of times in Great Barrington, and I got to tell you, I got really well taken care of. So I'm a little concerned about this Prop 1 and where it's going.
So you can go to BerkshireEagle.com over the weekend to read Alan's column.
You could do that. Or you could go to a million other places. Okay.
Well, we only have we have 2.5 minutes left the Fun Drive Challenge, the Lockbox Challenge here this morning. I'm not sure exactly where we are. We're closing in on it. You can pledge at WAMC.org.
If you were like Joe, you'd have it right in front of you.
Well, but I haven't seen the new numbers. Oh, you see on the computer.
Yeah.
What happened to you? You should bring it.
Here comes Amber.
Amber.
Here comes Amber.
Okay, there we are.
Okay, that's great. And Amber says, okay, we're down to the 5,000s now. $5,653 to go. We have 4 minutes to do it in. We can do it, folks.
I am told by our producer that if we get close, we can take it to 10:34 if we have to. But then we have to be done.
At 10:34.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would give us 7 minutes now.
Okay.
Our producer said so?
She said so.
Well, and she's the producer. She's the one.
Sarah LaDuke.
Sarah LaDuke, who allocates time.
Yep.
It must be some privilege in life to be able to allocate the time. Now, I can stop time.
Yes.
But she gets to allocate. Now, we do know that politics is the authoritative allocation of scarce resources. We know that. And here she is, allocating time. It's extraordinary.
She gave you an extra 4 minutes because she likes you.
Well, I don't know about the like part, but she did give me the 4 minutes.
Yes. You are correct, sir.
1-800-323-9262. This is terrific. Come on, folks. Let's get it done. We need 56 people, $5,653. Let me ask you a question. Do you have $1,000? What? You're asking me to give $1,000? You know what that is, folks, for this radio station? That's $3 a day. That's $3 a day. You could do it on time, so much down, so much a week. You know, you could do it that way. We have a name for that. What do we call that?
Sustaining member.
Sustaining member. 1-800-323-9262. But I need you now. Hey, this is Alan. I meet you on the street. You say, I'll be there when you need me. You do. I know it. 1-800-323-9262. You like this program? Is this program important to you? Do you find yourself tuning in almost every day? Now, don't do it while you're driving. Pull over.
Yeah.
1-800-323-9262. I mean, all my friends at the Berkshire Eagle, I know that they're going to be right up there doing their thing right at this moment, right up to the highest offices. 1-800-323-9262, Raymond?
Or WAMC.org. And by the way, there are two-thirds or three-quarters gone now, but there is a roundtable panel on Wednesday, November 7th.
More.
the roundtable panel on Wednesday, November 7th, the $100 ticket. They'll be discussing the midterm elections, which are the day before. Mike Spain, Malcolm Nance, Judith Henke, Sarah Rogerson, Jen Smith, David Soares will all be there. And you can find out about that when you make your pledge.
We're down to the 3,000s now. 3,997 to go. Everybody to a phone and we'll get that extra $2,000. Come on, folks. I know you will. If you can, do it online. It'll all count. Get off the table, Mabel. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. That's the preferred way.
Correct.
It'll count. It'll count.
Yeah, who is Mabel? That's the bigger question.
I know Mabel.
And why was she on the tip?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I know her personally. 1-800-323-9262.
Well, you might want to fill in the blanks there. How personal is this?
Yeah.
No, it's not that. It's not what you pigs are thinking.
We're just asking questions.
Yeah. Why are you calling a former New York State senator a pig, by the way?
Yes.
I've been called worse. It's
I suppose so. 1-800-323-9260.
We're down to the 3,000. Come on. You got $1,000. Listen to me. You get $1,000. That will be $3 a day. How much you pay for, other media, like the New York Times? How much is that a day? What does the Berkshire Eagle cost nowadays if you buy it on a newsstand?
We're at $1.25.
$1.25. Think about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're saying we're more valuable than the Berkshire Eagle?
Damn right.
That's what
1-800-323-9262.
Well, Jen Smith, what do you make of that?
You may be down one less panelist next week.
Okay, I take it back. 1-800-323-9. Couldn't have that happen.
Quote the Raven.
Jen Smith is by far the best reporter on the Berkshire Eagle, and we couldn't have her. We couldn't lose her. 1-800-323. See what I did there?
Yeah. Really smooth.
See what I did there?
1-800-323-9262.
Silver tongue CYA maneuver.
1-800. It was a double.
Sarah's probably regretting allegating out of this time now.
Okay. Now. $3,338 to go. Three people give us $1,000. Give us $1,000. Put the $1,000 down. Do it on time. So much down, so much a week. 1-800-323-9262.
Boy, you're really ramping up for the actual fund drive.
1-800-323-9262.
Hardly wait. 2.5 minutes to go here in the challenge.
Okay, Kosygin. 1-800-323-9262. Who do you think was uglier? Kosygin? Or Brezhnev?
Oh, that's a great question. Wow. This is the sort of highbrow programming you can only get in public radio. Ugliest Commie Award goes to...
Drum, please.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. 1-800-323-9262. What do you think those guys are now? Do you think they're in...
They're in the ground.
In hell?
Well, ground.
1-800-323-9262. Remember, they used to get up there on that precipice or that port, what do you call that? And they would all stand there together. Stalin, Brezhnev, Kosygin. They all stand up there and they would scowl up there.
That was a smile for them.
Scowl was an inverted smile.
I got to tell you, I'm enjoying looking at the reaction of these people who have not seen you in action before.
Yeah.
Just go with the flow, people.
Yeah.
Come on, Mabel. 1-800-323-9262. Okay, let's go. Do something.
90 seconds to go. Everything on the table will, of course, count.
If you make the call now, as long as it's connected, it's going to count. 1-800-323-9262 and we'll come back and we'll tell you. Ray will tell you later whether we made it or not. Won't you, Ray?
Most of the rest of the show's on tape. But, somebody might tell you.
Okay,
1-800. We'll tell you online, obviously, right?
Yeah. Will Joe be back tomorrow?
Yes. Thank the good Lord he will be back.
That wasn't a hit.
That's great.
I just wanted to know. Why do you think
not a moment too soon?
Yeah.
All right, listen, we're just about done here. Let's give the phone number one more time.
1-800-323-9262.
1-800-323-9262. And WAMC.org. This is the final update. Oh my gosh, you're so close now.
Oh boy.
Great.
Down to the 2000s now. 2900 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Everybody, listen, you got 1,000. What's 1,000? 1-800-323-9262. Put it on the table. Your 1,000 will get us another $2,000. Think of it that way.
Okay.
And if I've said anything to annoy you today, Ray, I want to apologize before I get my email.
Oh, cut it out. Okay. Let's stop there and cut our losses. The round table, there's much more on the way.